We're at the end of the sugya. One more piece on Lamazai and on the base, then we'll go back and do the Yerushalmi, and then start on the Rishonim. So let's start with the Rihata de Hakloi. So Jake, please. Amar Rava.
Amar Rava. I Rihata de Hakloi, the Mapsu ben Kimcha, the Barak for Eben Yuzah. My Tama, the Sri Deika.
Okay, so what is Rihata de Chakloi?
It's like a some sort of mixture of honey and flour.
Well, first just talk about what the words mean. It's a strange thing that we really talk about what the words mean. What? So Chakloi is something to do. Now, I have a suspicion that the, firstly, Chakloi is something about the fields or the farmers. And what is this in contrast to?
People who live in the city.
Well, Shimi.
Machosa.
What's Machosa?
Big city in Bava.
Why is it contrasted with Chakloi here?
Because it
would. Who was the rabbi in Machosa? Rough.
Huh. I did not know that.
Yes. That. Yes, he had a lot of unorthodox balabatim mukhoza. He wasn't always so terribly fond of. So, some things haven't changed. I'll talk about it in a second. But mukhoza can be a city, like a central place. But here, mukhoza is the name of the town. And, at least as we know, Rava was Mahoza. So he contrasts Chakloi, this is Rabbi talking, Chakloi with Mahoza. Now, what is the term Rihata? Mahat. You have a test in common.
Well,
and if your gutturals are weak, you even have a middle letter in common, but not the ratio in the middle. Thank you very much. Oh, that helps us a lot. What does the word Rihata mean? You know what it?
A runny thing.
Yeah, a runny thing.
Yeah.
The word, it's a straight, you would not expect this to be cognate, but the word in Aramaic to run is Rahat, Resh Hetes. That is cognate with Hebrew Resh Vav Tzadi. The Vav and the Hey are not easy to deal with, but the Resh is the same, and Tes and Tzadi, you know, to like, are have a relationship. They have the they're good examples where you see them change. They play together in the style, but you will have the Tess and the Tadi interchange. I'm trying to think are the good examples of that. More common is the Tadi and the Ayin. That's a different kind of thing, but you will find Tesses and Tadis interchanging. So Rahat and Rutz are the same word. So it means, it sounds like something that's runny, something that's a little bit loose. In other words, it's not a, what would be the quintessential, what would be the, we have Riata de Chaklai, we have Mechoza, which probably Riata de Mechoza, and what is the alternative to Riata of Chaklai or Mechoza? If you think, what? No. What would be of a much solider consistency? What would we call that? Dayasa, porridge.
Okay.
So in other words, dayasa is mazonos. Now what's happening is you know what oatmeal is like. Oatmeal is, you know, pretty thick. I mean, you can't take one piece and the whole thing comes up with it. But, you know, you can take some oatmeal on the spoon, turn it sideways, and it would take a while to fall off. And oatmeal can be very thick. That's what the dayasa is. So you have dayasa, which is clearly mazonos. Now you start to add other stuff and it gets to be more liquidy. So there's riata de chaklai. So the riata de chaklai is mashi by kimcha. You put a lot. Listen, you're given a choice. You're going to have flour mixed with honey. Do you want more honey or more flour, Ezra?
For what?
In your mixture.
In general?
Yeah.
More flour
sounds
more
honey.
More flour sounds more filling.
More flour. Yeah.
More honey tastes better.
Right.
What can I
What? So the answer is that as you start to add in, the thing gets, you have what proportion is kemah and what proportion is honey. So dayasa, regular dayasa is essentially all a flower. Whereas we saw, Rashi says that riata is chametz kedera, because remember the Gemara said that dayasa mamish, everybody agrees is mazeres, is dayasa ke'en chametz kedera, is the machlokas Rav Kahan and Rav Yehuda. And now, basically, chavitz kedera is riata dechatloi. There's a fair amount of flour, but it's already got a lot of stuff in it. Then you're going to get, finally, riata demachosa. Doesn't repeat the word, but that was, the balabatim and machosa, they didn't work so hard, so they didn't use many calories, they just wanted the sweet stuff at the balabatim in the field. They need to work very hard, so they had more flour because they needed more calories and energy. Okay, fine. So that was my time. Why is it you make a shahakol? Good.
My time is the shahakol.
Yeah, the honey is the ikar. And then
the hadara mayava, either the kibi ki in the peroni in Arizona. The rabbi shmuel, the rabbi chav chavayu, the kamesh tamirin, the rabbi
okay. So, nope. If it's got mezonos ingredients, and again, the idea of a thickener, it comes up later. I think, I don't remember if it's in Daf Lamites somewhere, or Lamites. So there we'll talk about the kemach that's just there to make it, Lamites and al. There, if it's a thickener, if it's a glue, then it's not really there because you want flour in there, because you want, have greater caloric heft. So then, that's not called, even that Rav and Shmuel would agree, is called, presumably, the Gemara just says the din where the Rav and Shmuel agree, you can't know for sure, but that's a case where the flour is the tafel. But as long as the flour is there for taste, so Rav said, even Riata the Mechosa, where they don't have as much kemach in there, it's still considered the ikar, you make a mezonos. Fine. Right, so that really closes the first the beginning of the sugya. So now,
I'm Rav Yosef. I from the in-state glory to light, the prima mavarach alav or hakamotz lacham in the arts, who will also mavarach alav shalosh brachot.
Okay.
The in-state glory to light, the prima mavarach alav or hakamotz lacham in the arts, who will also mavarach alav shalosh brachot.
Okay, so here's the important question. What is chavitza? So what does Rashi say?
He says it's like...
I'm asking Jake. Hold on, what does he say? You can read it. That's, I'm okay with that. You know what that is, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Everybody knows that. Rami doesn't know it because it's a Yiddish word. It's an early French word. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea what that is. But if you take a look in the note on the side, Jake responded perfectly. He knew exactly how to respond. So if you look on the side, so Hagos Tzionim quotes the Urza Roh, who says, and you can see this in Tosfos also, they're cooking or maybe even frying pieces of bread inside in a frying pan in a machabas. So really what you're doing is, what would the equivalent today almost be? It's not quite. The closest food I can think of this is? What? Yes, French toast. Really not good for you, but it's delicious.
I mean, that's most
what?
That's most things.
I want to, we'll have a discussion very soon about that, okay? I want to differ with that. But the bottom line is you take the bread. Now, French toast, clearly, what would the bracha be on French toast? Because?
It looks like bread.
Well, because it has peru in the morning, like a zayis.
Right.
And it certainly has still teresa de nama. However, maybe. It depends how you define that. But certainly, the way Rashi is describing what sounds a lot like French toast, and it all depends on the size of the pieces. Now, if Rashi is correct, though, what does that mean for our sugya, for the broader sugya? If chavitza is bread that you take and you cook, or you fry it in a liquid, which is like cooking, what does that mean for the bigger sugya? Fry it?
You mean that we're ignoring the shina that is affected by the visual?
That's what it means for a larger topic in general. What does it mean, internal mechanics of the sugya? Maybe it wasn't clear in the question. Lewis?
Well, mean the threshold for MOT is a lot higher, right? If you thought it was interesting, kind of mixture to just have some bread in it.
Where did you think that this kind of mixture had some bread in it?
Well, originally I was doing a pizza where it's like kvass, so like a churning liquid type thing.
There's something on the previous daf that all of a sudden becomes an issue. This is the set halacha lemaisa, which is a function of how the connection and the sugya. We had a discussion in that brisa, the Tosefta, that's in the Yerushalmi that we're going to look at, which said that you have, if you have chita, which is chana afa, that's bread, ubishva, and then you cook it. So the din was im aprusos kayamos. So you make hamotzi. If the prusas are not kayamos, guess what? You have porridge. So there, it talks about whether the prusas are kayamos or not. Here it says whether there are pieces of kizayis in there or not. So why is the din different? Isn't it according to the key point, and this is the machlokas that we showed in here. For Rashi, I don't expect you to know some machlokas, Rashi says, you cooked it. So why is the din here different than the previous hamos? Right? Yes, why? What else would you be doing to it? I mean, other than maybe toasting it, but. Yeah. But there's honey in it. I mean. If Rava has the Havamina, then at least we have the Mechoza, is Dushas Iker, and therefore it would have been shahakol. That means there's a fair amount of honey, at least in the Riyat of the Mechosa.
What's that to do with
Kavitza? I jumped back there. I shouldn't have. Even though the Smichos does make you actually wonder about it. But my assumption is that what does that go? Does he say it to Farish? And that's what the Ozer Ross says. Shemavashlim peirei papas betoch hamachalas. Bishul means with a liquid. Now, that my point simply, and this is what Tosis is going to say, and this is what Rabbi Yonah is going to focus on as well. If, in fact, this is what Rashi describes, then you have to resolve the perhaps seeming contradiction between two brises. If it is not correct what Rashi is describing, which is the path Tosis and Rabbi Yonah are going to take, so then you're talking about two different kinds of cases. But you then have to know what exactly is chavitza according to those other Rishon. Right? The resolution, by the way, is a fairly straightforward resolution, and it may be Beferish and Yushalmi. What is the Yushalmi is Beferish on this point? What does Prusas Kayamos mean? Shani?
It means the Kazayas.
That's the Kazayas. That's what Prusas Kayamos means. Now, that's not the path Tosas or Yonah are going to take, but Tosas does quote that Yushalmi first in defense of Rashi. But realize that if Rashi is correct, you're talking about the same Metzias in the Tosefta. And as is chavitza, and you now have to reconcile those two statements. If, however, you say that they are not the same mitzvahs, then this beimah is quite clear. We understand what Yosef is saying, that it depends whether the prusas are kazayas or not. But in the Tosefta, you still have to figure out now what does it mean ima prusas kayamas. Okay, go ahead. But understand that the driving issue in the Rishonim that's going to drive this entire discussion, a big discussion, is the question on how to take these two pieces and put them together or not put them together. If you say like Rashi, these two things are talking about the same Metzias, and at least on a literal level have two different deen. If you're going to say like Tosis or Rabbeinu Yonah, so they're two different Metzias, so Rabbeinu Yonah happens to come up with a three-part hierarchy of when, you know, when something loses a shem lachem. Okay. Go ahead. So mina mina la what?
Mina mina la that a kazai bread is hamot.
Mm-hmm. That's what Rashi points out. In other words, it's not the... Why does Rashi say that? Okay, good question. Why does Rashi feel that they say that? Isn't that what Rabbi Yosef said? Rabbi Yosef said, Hay chavitza this beirut kizayis b'tzil merach hamotzeh al chanaretz. Well, we'll sell Baruch Allah Shalosh Brachos. So, why does Rashi feel the need to say that? There are two ways of understanding Rashi, but one of them is correct, as far as I'm concerned. They all, both understandings move in the same direction, but one of them is more correct than the other. Why does Rashi feel to say that? That's what Rabbi Yosef just said. No? You read Rashi?
Because there's let kazanut, right?
Yeah.
He says that it's Muslim.
Okay.
We're only talking about the first part, because we don't agree with the second part.
I don't agree? No.
In other words, if there's less than a kazanut, we're going to talk about how if there's a less, you might still say, I will see.
I mean, there are those who disagree, I agree, but...
Well, the Menachah Nimili, he specified that it's not going on the fact that it's Chavita. Specifically?
No.
No?
No. That is moving in the right direction. Right?
The Arnava and can't prove the converse.
Correct. Now, there are two things, actually, that the Braisa doesn't prove, which is, it doesn't prove Berachas HaMazonai, the Shalosh Brachos. But I think that's a given. If you make HaMotzi Lachmanaris before and you have a Kezias, that's not a Chiddush. But Rabbi Yosef says two things. If it's a Kezias, you make hamotzi and berachas hamasav. If it's less than a kezias, you make mezonos and alamecha. The braisa about how you own it a matter of Yosef could quote doesn't prove the latter. Right? It's past. In other words, the braisa does say you break the karban mincha up into kezaisin, and then you eat it. You make hamotzi. Now, why doesn't it prove of Yosef's second statement?
It doesn't talk about
number one. It doesn't tell you. What the din is if you have less than a kezias in the paper room. So then why does it say that you break it up into a kezias? Kezaisim. Because that maybe is just what the mitzvah is. Because it may be, for whatever reasons, that the Torah tells you, pasos sapitim, they understand. No. It doesn't have to be that they're pitim of a kezias because the Torah wants you to make hamotzi. Which obviously the Torah doesn't want you to make hamotzi, other than the fact that the Torah wants you to listen to Derech HaChamim, because there is no Berachas HaMotzi in that Torah. But the point, it may just be you break it up into Kezaisim, one or two ways of understanding that. It means that it is sufficient to break it up into Kezaisim. You don't have to, the Torah says, Pasos HaSapitim. So you might think that you have to pound and pound and pound and reduce it to pulverize it into dust. So no, you don't have to. Or it could be that there's a kapay that it be Kezais, but that could be because it's Chashivos. That could be because it's Chashivos. Or, maybe, even though this is a huge stretch, I don't know if it's correct, maybe because there is a mitzvah of achila, and ein achila pachas mikazayas, therefore we want that when the person picks it up, that there should be a sheer kazayas in one slice, in one piece. Now, unless you think that's crazy, did you do pasach tzumah mibakariya? No. So there's a sugya later on the bottom of Lamed Tesav and Aleph, which Tosis will invoke here to talk about, called pasach tzumah mibakara. And whether or not you make hamotzi on it. Now, it's very strange, because pasach tzumah mibakara often just means you crumble the bread in the pan, in the ka'ara, and there's a question of, the question, when you read the Gemara, it sounds like there are Amoraim who hold that if the piece is in the pan, unless they're kazayis, you don't make hamotzi on it. But there are others who say, no. It just means that there's a preference for, there are a couple of issues going on. If you have a shlema and a prusa, which one do you make the bracha on? That's a whole discussion, but there's a adipus to making a bracha the way we're going to pass it on a shlema. Okay. Meaning, even if, let's say, I have a nice big challah, and then I have a smaller version, the big challah already has a piece broken off of it, but it's still twice the size of the small one. So which, and the small one shlema, which do you make a bracha on? So it's kind of a machlokas amaran. It's not clear what the scope of the machlokas is, but we pass in shlema's adip. Question is, if you have pasach tzumah mibakara, if that just means that you crumble the bread in the kara, and that's all there is, do you make hamotzi on it or not? So the possibility exists, and one sheet that says for sure you do. But it might be the Amoraim who disagree. It's not clear whether they disagree in terms of what preferably should get the bracha, or whether you don't even make hamotzi on it because it's less than a kezias. So the possibility could exist. I don't know if anybody says this, that the reason why you don't break the mincha down according to that sheet is because that wouldn't be called achila. And therefore, the kohanim can't really be mekayim the mitzvah of achlu osam asher kupar bahem, etc. Right? Bailim Kohanim Ochlim Ubailim Iskapim. But this Braisa does not prove that less than a Kezias is not hamotzi. It just proves that if it's a kezayis, that's enough to make hamotzi. Okay, go ahead. What's the brisa? The Tanya. Ooh, a shachayonu. Why is he making a shach? Who is this guy? You're right. There are multiple shitas, at least three different interpretations, maybe four, if you look at the Tosfos and Rashi and Menachos. So the Rashi and Menachos are not Rashi. Number one Rashi offers here is if you have...
Well, the person who's eating it is the Kohen.
That's what Tosfos says. Because it's, after it says, Haya Omeid Makriv, and then it says, Natal on the Ochlan, Natal on the Ochlan certainly has to be the Kohen. Omeid Makriv, the Israel brings the korban. He doesn't do the avoda in that sense. He's not makriv al gabei mizbeach, where he can't do the kamitza. Al regalachas. And an animal, what are the four major avodas in an animal? Bringing as a korban. There are four major avodas. Know this quickly. What? Sneakers not makriv. Shtipa. Kabbalat hadam. Holacha. And zirika. Okay, so you, those four. You have to shech it, get the blood, kabbalas dam b'kli, you walk it to the mizbeach, and you throw it on the mizbeach. Those are the four avodos that count. Anything after that's not ma'akev the karbon. Anything before that, once you ma'akev, is not ma'akev the karbon. Okay. Karbon mincha has four avodos that are analogous to that. The only difference is that by which of the avodos by an animal can be done by a zar? Shechita, and that's it. After that, you go to Lewis. He's in charge. When it comes to the Karban Mincha, there are four avodos there as well, which parallel the four avodos for most dinim, except that all of them must be done by a Kohen. What are the four avodot by Mincha? Kemitza. Then Matan, putting the Kemitza in a Kli, that's like Kabbalah Hadam, walking into the Mizbeach, and burning on the Mizbeach. Notice that not burning the limbs, whatever parts of an animal that get burned on the mizbeach, whether it's one that you eat and you only burn the fats, or even if you, it's an olah, you burn the entire animal, after zrikat hadam, it's not me'akeva, the kapara. Meaning, you yield to your obligation of bringing carbon, even though they didn't burn the emurim on the mizbeach, or the entire animal on the mizbeach by an olah. By a mincha, the burning of a kmitza, or if it's a minchat kohen of everything on the mizbeach, is me'akeva, it's the equivalent of zrikat hadam. Okay. So now, I am omid umakrid mincha minachos v'yushalayim. So the pashtus is not the Yisra. You know how you know the pashtus is not the Yisra? Shimmy? No, that's what Ezra said. That's true. It's true. There's even a more obvious way. I didn't see Tosfos point this out. There's a word that should tip you off.
Umakrid.
No, because makrid means, you know, v'hikri v'ayal ha-kohen v'yishayal ha-mizbeach. Omid. That's all that's left. Why? Because avodas psula, you would be yeshiva. The point is, the Israel can probably crawl and bring them in front of the Kohen. And if there's a din, what's that? But haya omid, right? Umakriv. So, amida is only necessary for the hakrava of avoda, not for the hakrava of bringing it to the Kohen, as far as I know. I mean, you know, it's usually much easier if you're standing and you walk into the Kohen, but I imagine that if you bring it, if you're a person that's in a wheelchair, or a person just, you know, he crawls to the finish line and hands the stuff to the Kohen, so that's fine too, right? Isn't there... For Shachiana? No? I don't think so. I don't know, this is a complicated thing. I was taught that there are really three brachos ha-metzah you have to stand for. Atzas Hashem Me'olam Tamod. Omer, Tzitzis, Tzilin. You got to find what that is. I was taught that, you know, that's here's the Yom Tzitzis. So, I don't know really if there's a Al-Hidin you need to stand for any of the others. I mean, I think that there might be others. I don't, you know, I'm not sure. Look, Tios, for example. When they were Miyushav, right? Similar Miyushav, I don't think you have to say it. If you don't have to stand for the kiddush, how can you have to stand for the bracha? Yeah, the minhag, that's true, because the minhag, we stand for the bracha on the gemara, and people sit down. I'm not sure really, again, maybe that is correct, maybe what I was taught was wrong, but it wasn't my fourth grade Rebbe that made up Atzas HaShem HaTamor, or my seventh grade, but there it was. There comes from some, I'm sure, Afro who says it or something.
Also, Megillah is in Deoraita, so that could be different too.
Okay. Anyway, but Avodah Mikdash, Amida is Ma'akevas. So, what are the possibilities? So Rashi here says it was the Yisrael. Why is he making a Shechianu? Because he hadn't brought a Mincha in a very long time. Now, that is an interesting din for the category Shechianu. When do you make a Shechianu? Well, there are two kinds of Shechianus that you make, at least three kinds of Shechianus you make. Only one of them is mandatory. What's the Shechianu that's mandatory? Mitzvah haba mizman l'zman. Doesn't have to say yearly, but like the Shalosh Regalim or something that mitzvah haba mizman, that is a chiyuv. You also make a Shechianu when, let's say, you have something new.
Yeah,
but that Shechianu is not chiyuvis. Meaning, if I buy a new suit, but I don't feel it in me, doesn't give me that feeling, I don't have to make a Shechianu. It's nice to make a Shechianu. It's also a din of Shechianu. If, let's say, a bacha was absent from Seder and Shir for a very long time, and I hadn't seen them in 30 days. If they missed the whole year and I saw them the next month, I'd make them a Chayam Mason. I haven't seen them in 30 years this year for the last, in Seder, for the last 30 days, I'll make a Shechianu. People shy away from those brachas today. I occasionally made, what?
No,
it means that someone you're happy to see. And if you're missing for a day, I'm excited you come in the next, I'm excited you come in that day too. So, anyway.
Why don't we see Shechianu on Rosh Chodesh
now?
Firstly, we generally assume that 30 days are supposed to elapse. So Rosh Chodesh, 30 days never elapsed with
Rosh
Chodesh.
Right, that's true. That's true. You don't have 30 days between.
You never have 30 days between Rosh Chodesh. You know how many days you always have between Rosh Chodesh? Yeah. It's always the first of the month to the 30th day, whether that is the first day of the next month or that is the 30th day of this month. So you always have actually 28 days in between.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, there you go. Anyway, so
it could also be the Kohen.
So Tosus, there are a couple of different versions. When is the Kohen making it? So Rashi, Tosfos here quotes Rashi in Menachos, which I don't think it says in our Rashi in Menachos. Or somebody quotes. Which, no, maybe it's not that. I forget where it says Rashi in Menachos says. Oh, one second. No, one second. No, he does. He quotes Rashi in Menachos. Yes, Rashi in Menachos, I thought he didn't say it that way, said that it's a Kohen who never brought, maybe he did, maybe I'm mistaken. A Kohen who never brought a karma mincha before in his life. You know what we call this mincha? If I'm not mistaken, he brings a special karma then. I think he brings like the chavite kohen gadol his first time, no?
I did not know about that.
I believe so. And what do we call this mincha? What kind of mincha is this? You guys are missing it and you're going to kick yourself. It's called a mincha schinuch. Really?
That's where you got the name from?
I think so. Here you go, chat. Brian.
Even also, we have two rashis.
So I'm looking, I was looking at the little printed side, which is printed where Rashi normally is, but that's not really Rashi, I think, right? Or is it like one on top of the other? Is that Rashi, Rashi? Hold on, I'll look.
In my position, they
have
one in
the regular
and one in the
regular
position.
Hold on. I'll pay what it says. The Rashi or Rashi is there. I only saw one Rashi. Was it Ayin Ches or Ayin Hay? Ayin Hay the base. All right. I see the Rashi at the bottom. So let's see. The Rashi on top, not Miksav Yad, which is probably not Rashi, is Kolon Shalohikri Kohen Ze Adai Mincha Miyama. That is Rashi. Oshi Hikri Mincha Chadasha Kigur Mincha Saomer. And the Rashi in the Ksav Yad says Kohen Shalohikri Mincha Bishana Zo. Right, so there are four interpretations, actually, total, that I see. And then he quotes on the Shachwina, so that he never ever brought the carbon. So it could be the first mincha you bring of the year, or it could be this Kohen never brought a mincha before, or the way Tosha says, how many times did Kohanim come to the Mikdash in the year, usually? So usually twice, but occasionally a third time, depending on the year fell out. So every time you came, when your Mishmar was anew, it would be twice in advance a year, so the first carbon that would be brought then, Tosha says, you make a Shacharion, and that's called a Mitzvah B'Mishpan
Mizman. How long was each cycle of the Mishmar?
24 weeks. Just keeps going.
Once a week.
Yeah, 1 week at a time. 1 week this or this one.
Okay. Each individual Kohen also wouldn't be necessarily given like a mincha several times in each Mishmar.
No, correct, but whoever did it for the Mishmar. That's what Tosha Zedek says.
Your personal Kohen,
what would Tosha say about that?
In other words, we just said that for the first korban brought in that mishmar, they would make shachiyah, right?
Right.
So the different people give korbanos at different times throughout the mishmar. So for each of them, it would also be the first korban.
No, so Tosus thinks, and why I understand Tosus that the first korban brought for that mishmar, you make shachiyah. Okay. Fine. So anyway, this fellow is Omei Dumakrit. So he makes a shachiyah. Fine. Then what happens? Go ahead, Jake. Natala La Ochlan.
Natala La Ochlan, the Baratamos Akhanaz.
Okay. Vitaniala.
Vitaniala. The Kulan Potitin Tizayas.
Potitan Tizayas. So whenever you have Petita, Pesisa, I don't know what the word would be, we practice this, but it should be Pesisa. It should also be Hasicha, but it's not. Right? Like kimitza, chasicha, when you have a slice. How do you say it, Boaz?
I mean,
how do you say it?
I've heard it.
At this point,
my accent is very messed up.
How do you say it? What? Chatecha. Everybody, it says chatecha, but I'm not talking about the accent, I'm what the word is. If I'm not mistaken in the kisayad, I think it's chasicha. Am I making that up? I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, we pronounce things the way we pronounce what?
How
does that happen? You would expect to be have no dagishes.
Yeah.
Right? They're both, it's after the first one's after Shvat. It should never be chaticha. Right? How do you get a tough there? How do you get a dagish? Sarani, it doesn't matter. He doesn't work with these crazy people. Anybody who's ever asked what I did, he's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
What's so odd?
You shouldn't get a dagesh after a shvana.
What's shvana?
The patach under the chet.
Yeah. Oh. I want to say that's a shvana.
It's like kimitza, chaticha. Right?
The cluster of chaticha is hard to pronounce.
You might be right. It's a very weird word. You should know it when you stand. You're going to think about it every time you say it. What? Anyway. Okay. Sorry. So anyway, you make or whatever you make. But there are four I mentioned yesterday. There are four menachos. Not going to go through them again. But the menachos, not the flour mincha. All the other menachos, you have to break up the pieces. Why you break it up? So you can do kenitza. And otherwise, if it's one big like cake, kamisa means you'll get the whole thing when you pick it up. So bottom line is you do petita before, so you can do kamisa. And because the Torah says you do petita, and therefore it's cool and post on kizayis. So you see, you make a hamotzi on a kizayis of bread. So I'm a levaye.
It's not the rabbi.
Probably the Rabbi Shmuel. See, you break it up until you reduce it to flour, basically. Okay. So.
You're
going to say you don't have to make hamotzi? Now, of course, the answer to that might have been Yeah, that could have been the answer. But somehow Abai assumes that that's not possible. And we're going to have to talk about Pasat Svila Bakara in this context. Tosfos raises that question. Okay, so the Gemara says, instead, Bechitema.
Bechitema, Achinami, Ve'atanya, Leket, Mikula, Kezait, Ve'achla, Nikhamit,
Ve'achalam. Lokat, Mikula, and Kezait, Ve'achalam. If you gather together from all of them, of Kezait, and you eat them, so in, what are you gathering together from? So this is Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, from these menachos. Tosfos says, what are you talking about? Why can't it be from these menachos? It can't be chametz. So Tosfos says, it just means stam. You're malakit from the chamesh saminim. All the stuff. You malakit stuff together. So, lekatan va'achalan im chametzu.
Chametzu enosh kaetz.
Okay. So you see that now the key, what's the proof from? Yeah.
Why does it say Enosh Kares instead of just Chayav?
Why does it say it's Enosh Kares?
It's how the Bryce is.
I don't know. It's a fair question. If you learn this Gemara a few times, you start thinking it's normal. I don't know if it's normal or not. So how do you prove from here that you make Hamosi? Because if you yotze matzah, it has to be lachem.
Yeah.
That's the key. Okay. So Rabbi Yosef responds. Kisha Erson. So what does that mean? What does Rabbi Yosef say? If you broke this up into small pieces, but then, less than that, but then you take some type of a liquid and you re-knead it. K-E-N-E-A-D. Yes. Exactly. So then you can get a kezayis, and then you can make a bracha. But if the piece that you're holding in your hand is less than a kezayis, you don't make a hamotzi on it. So the Gemara says,
you have to name a seifa.
Yeah, not achalon, but achalo. See, if you're talking about bishlam, if you say that the pieces are pieces, and then you would say that lekatan va'achalon. And if unless you just gather them together and eat them, that's lekatan v'achalan. But if you gather them together and you make them into one glob, then that's lekatan v'achalan. You eat it. The fact that the breast is achalan implies that it wasn't irsan. Next. All right, so the answer is, okay, that doesn't work. Try differently. What does he say? Vami lechem gadol. So what does that mean?
Bread.
We have a piece of bread still sitting on the table, so I crumbled a few pieces off. So as long as that piece of bread is there, but the kasayis on it, all the rest of the crumbs have the status of lechem. But if there were no, if I took that piece of bread and I crumbled it up into 50 million pieces and there was nothing there, then yeah, I wouldn't make hamotzi on it.
So the truth is, by according to the
yes, by the karbon milchim, you might not have to make hamotzi. There's no din that the korban mincha has to be lachem. There is a din, it can't become chametz. It doesn't have to be lachem. Go ahead, continue. My havala. In other words, so Rabbi Yosef managed to parry away the questions. So the question is he right or not? If you have a prusa less than a kezayis, do you then say there's no hamotzi? And you don't assume you have no prusas there that are kezayis. Now it's kind of funny, my Havala, because Rosh Hashanah is just a plug to Rabbi Yosef. So okay, so he disagrees with Rabbi Yosef. That what does that prove anything? Okay, and then Amar Rava, Risa v'Nahama, and Nahama is what? Bread. That's cognates. That the hay and the ches overlap. and lamin and nun are both liquids, lamin and resh, so nahama and lachma are the same word, right?
We as the Mahalalas come from Rebbe Huzabas, right?
I'm sorry?
We as the Mahalalas come from Rebbe Huzabas,
right? Yeah, the Rai, if anything, would have been from the fact that Rava seems to accept Rav Sheshi's opinion, and Rava says, yes, you don't need Kazayas, but you need to resa the nama. Now, what this suggests, what? Laman, Nun, and Resh are all liquids. Take the word, I don't have a marker, Almana and Armala. You'll see two switches there. But Almana and Armala, the Nun and the Laman, are switching there. So Nahama is the same word as Lachma. Okay.
Strong Raya is a good pronunciation of letters.
Against what?
Against good pronunciation of letters.
No. You understand that if you talk, for example, to a Korean who's grown up there, he can't hear the difference between an R and an L. I know that sounds strange to you, but there are sounds that you can't hear the difference between. If your brain doesn't learn it by a certain stage, you won't hear the difference. So that's old. It may be like a little bit of, it's not a meme because it's before memes existed, and it's a little bit racist when you have the Korean guy in the cartoon saying "Rots of rock, pal, rots of rock." Right, because he can't distinguish between the R and L, it all sounds the same, and you'll hear it that way. I know this. My mother-in-law, her name is Harriet, and she has a brother's name is Elliot. And when their father, who was Eastern European, he came from Poland, so he had a heavy accent. You know, he had a relatively heavy accent on his English. I sometimes, when he would make reference to them, I couldn't hear figure out which one he's talking about, except from context. They would sound the same to me, because the H is a weak consonant, especially on people. So the only difference between those two words is the L and the R. So sometimes people's pronunciation, it's not easy to tell the difference. So anyway, that's how you get, that's how the Laman and the Nun go together. Okay. So now the question, of course, becomes, what is Teresa the Nama? That's the $64 million question. And we still have to grapple with, according to this Gemara, you don't need Krusus of Kazayas. You just need Teresa the Nama. So you can have less of a Kazayas. What is Krusus Kayamos in the previous prices? That really is. Now, is that the same thing?
As Kazayas?
Yeah, in other words, or is that, or no, not necessarily. Because if they're the same thing, then we say you don't need a kazayas, you need Teresa the Nama. So maybe what that Prusas Kayamas means is if the pieces are still Kayamas, that they look like bread. However you define what Teresa the Nama is. Okay, we'll have to try to figure that out, but that's the question that emerges from our Gemara. Okay, so then before we're going to go on, we'll probably do the Rishonim now, and that's going to be it if we finish it. Before we go back to the Rishonim to really explore that one, two of the issues, and again, I think it's primarily one major issue that we have to deal with, which is, when does bread lose its form? Yes. So, interestingly enough, this is if bread gets soft. What if bread gets hard?
Like stale?
Well, maybe. Let's talk about croutons. Now, what's the din if you bake? Anybody know here? What is the status of croutons that are baked as croutons? I mean, not stale bread that you bake into croutons, which some people will do once it's cooked in the bread, but actually dough that is baked as croutons in the first place. What is their status? Well, normally, yes, but let's say you're a kind of guy who just likes to eat a bag of croutons.
If they're baked to be croutons.
If they're intended to be eaten
in
something else, they weren't meant to be
eaten
alone. That's a problem.
Now, what are baked croutons? It's called bread. But it's a special kind of bread. You know what kind of bread? Pasta la bakissa. There's three shitos, and what's that? Yes, one of the three shitos in the Rishonim, we effectively accept all of them, and some Achronim even say, one of the three shitos, the Aruch Shulchan, is kachen, it's like crackers, cracker texture. So croutons are exactly that. Now, if they are bread first, and they become stale bread, Yonatan, so then it may not, it probably doesn't
right.
lose its source of has.
So, I'm pretty certain that stale bread is still hamotzi.
No, I know stale bread is hamotzi, but even if you bake it into croutons, it will still remain hamotzi, unless it's a tafel. In the salad, once you make salad, that's a tafel. I think that's a clear case where even bread is a tafel. But if it starts out as bread, and then you bake it into croutons, that is always going to be hamotzi if you eat it today atzmo. If it is baked as such, then it is pasav abakistin. That was its original formation, and that depends as to whether or not your idea of a meal is sitting now with a bag of croutons, because I'm sure it'd be pretty filling, and I'm sure it'd be pretty delicious up until point.
I feel like you'd regret it.
Oh,
what's wrong on the topic of ruffles for your trend thing?
Yeah. We're not really on that topic. I only know, unless it's churros apasos. My point is, I don't think bread, when it becomes hard, loses churros apas. It's only when it becomes mushy and dissolved.
I heard someone tell me that they don't eat Chex Mix because the bagel chips might be, they're not sure whether they're made as a bagel and cut up or they're baked in the chip form, and it might become
a I've heard the style about pita chips.
I hear that. On pita chips, you can be, in both of those cases, I mean, you could find out firstly.
Right.
But one could be virtually certain that those are not baked. And then, I mean, they're milachatzila, they are baked to make it that way.
Right. So it would not be a...
I don't think it's a question very much, yeah. No, it would be kind of silly on their part. It would be highly inefficient to do that. First I make the bread. Oh, okay, now I've got to stalify it. You know, I have to bake it hard. It doesn't make sense. I'm sure they bake it in one shot.
Right.
Okay. Fine. So now let's take a look. Now, all right, so I think we have kind of laid out what all the issues are going to be. And again, we have really one major issue to deal with. And that central question is, when does bread lose its status? The second issue that we've spoken about, we also have to look at the Rishonim, is within mezonos, within porridge, what happens if the kernels are ba'en? Right? We spoke, and I've laid out for you the shitos, the difference perhaps between rice and barley or wheat, where the rice, even if the grains stand the fe'atzman, it's still mezonos, whereas the wheat doesn't become mezonos unless it's, you know, broken up the pieces or, you know, or mushed, one of the two. But for the moment, let's take a look at the Yerushalmi for a few minutes. We may not finish it now. Thank you. Thank you, our fearless leader, for preparing this for us on short notice. Let's start with, maybe I'll read, unless someone is dying to read. Anybody really want to read? Yeah. You do, Ezra? Thank you. Okay. Hakosis is achivim. On the right side. Omer aleihem bori minei zer onim. This is the nusach on the Tosafta. It is not the nusach that we have in our Bavli. In the Bavli, we have two nusachos. The Gemara notes that two nusachos. It's either Bari Pri Adama or Bari Mine Zeronim. But the Yerushalmi doesn't know of the other Shita. The Bavli says, we read it yesterday, that, oh, that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. But he likes to have multiple brachos. The Yerushalmi doesn't make any such stipulation. Afayon uvishlan. Bizman shafusas kayamos omer aleim hamotzi lechem al-aretz and mevarach l'achar shalosh brachos. Imein afusas kayamos omer aleim bari bina misonis and mevarach achar al-brach achas mei'in shalosh. Same as in the Bavli. Ad kama Yehu Prusos. So the Yerushalmi asked the question, what is Prusos Peyabos? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Abun, Kahana Bar Malki, B'Shem Rav, said, Ad Kizese. Okay. So the definition of Prusos Peyabos is whether they are Kizese or not.
Does Ad Kizaisim mean that they stopped before they were smaller, or until they were smaller than the
Kizaisim? No. It's Prusas Kayamos is down until the Kizaisim.
But not smaller.
Yes. Hakosis es Orez, we're back in the Brisa. Hakosis es Orez, Omer Lav, Vari Mei Zironim. Hafayu Bishlo, Afo Pisha Prusas Kayamos, Omer Lav, Vari Mei Zonos, Ve'in Tzarech Acharav Levarech. So this is the same as that second brisa that the Bible quotes, Tanya Acharav Aloklon. So that's what the Yerushalmi actually has in this. What does this have to have?
Two nesvos.
In which kisayah, do you remember?
No.
You know, if I were a betting man, I would say?
You say that Venice.
Vienna has like the Yerushalmi, and Erfurt is like the Bible. I would say Erfurt's sort of been corrected towards the Bible. Okay. Rav Yirmiyah Omer. What?
Even though
Bavli changes. Well, Bavli, yes, it does in the end, but Bavli obviously had two nusach, but had a nusach, its primary nusach had brachach tzvei shalosh. And then it amends it, but, okay, so on the top of the next column, Rav Yirmi Omer Bori Pri Adama, Bar Marina, Berich Kome Rabbi Zeira, Mekome Rav Chia Bar Abba. I know that looks funny. Vavaval. That the vavav is standing for Beis. And what? And the Beis Rabbi Ba is Rabbi Abba, because Aleph does spin all the time. You should pay attention to that, because next time in Shalom you'll read it and you'll know it.
I knew about Rabbi Ba.
So yes, sometimes you get the double vav instead of a beis. You know, which is odd in its own right, because how was vav pronounced? Right. And the question is, was it always, in other words, what are the differences in pronunciation? And does this reflect the beis pronunciation, the way Ashkenazim and even Syrians pronounce that way, right? So only the Temanim. Only the Temani wannabes in the Syrian community pronounce it wah. But no, most Syrians, I assume Syrians mostly pronounce it va.
The vet is a question,
is it the same or is it like a soft speech? The vet, well, again, we've spoken about that. Asev Besadacha and Kanaf Pesil, that the Bavli says in the second parak, are vacant, right? Kanaf Pesil don't go together unless you read Kanaf Pesil, right? And Asev Besadacha. Some type of something that's much closer that you have to be mafrid, right? For standard Ashkenazi pronunciation, you don't need to be mafrid between Asef Besadacha and Kanaf Pesil, because they don't end and begin with the same letters, or things that you pronounce the same way. But some Syrians, I know, that Beis and Pei at the end sound a much closer to the Beis and the Pei. Okay. So, but he made a bracha before of Zirim, before of Chibar Abba, Shakol Nebidvaro. And finally, Rabbi Shimon Chasida Omer, Bore Minei Ma'adanim. So, firstly, you have a brisa that says, Bore Minei Mazonos, and then you have three Amoraim who come and argue on the brisa. Now, I don't know how strongly the Yerushalmi generally, I think the Yerushalmi doesn't disagree with the Baalim's assertion that Amoraim don't argue on brises. That's my impression. But Yerushalmi may not be explicit, and the way we know that's how the Bavli always works. Right? The rule in the Bavli is, you're an Amora, you cannot disagree with all the Tanaim. If you're going to adopt the position, you better find some time to hang your hat on. So the Yerushalmi says, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Abon, the lo pligin. There's no machlokas. Manda Amar Bari Lu Mizonos. If it is Vahuda of it, bull. This is the Pnei Moshe says that the, oh, actually, is it the Pnei Moshe here? Yes, it is. You must be Moshe, not Kabbalah. Yeah, Pnei Moshe says you mix in Chamesh HaSaminim, like Balul. That seems to be a big stretch to be introducing an ingredient into the rice that the Yerushalmi doesn't mention. The Baal Sefer Haredim, Rabbi Lazar Azakri, who's the parish that they print here, and he wrote on we have his parish on a number of Masechtas of Yerushalmi. We have it on Beit as well. I don't remember what else. Wait, Brachas, what? He is, I think, 16th century? I think he's an Acharon, technically, no?
Yeah, I think he was from that era of
Tzad. Yeah, yeah. He's the author, by the way, of Yidin Nefesh. And we actually have his Tzad Yad of it, which is why you know that the stuff printed in Moshe Durim is all wrong. I was going about this. The Korean printed correctly. What I don't know is whether he vocalized his own text, because none of us read with the rabbinic proper rabbinic vocalization. Right? Meshoch avdach el ritzonach would be correct rabbinic pronunciation. But nobody I know says that. Even what? I don't know. You'd be surprised if you just practiced a little bit.
It's very classic. You just change the sounds of it sometimes.
What's that? Well, we usually slaughter accents to do that.
Same here.
I feel you made me feel better. Okay, fine. It's not only the Eastern European influence of Indo-European languages that has led Ashkenazim to take that license. Okay, and it makes sense.
Even in that, you know, things that are changing what they would necessarily be granted, what's not exactly unknown.
You have Nasoga Chor. Right, that, I don't know if I would call it the Feres, I guess I'd call it the Feres HaKriya. So you do, like the Shilach Ish, the Cholat Hazah. They're all over the place. Okay, fine. Anyway, so the Yerushalmi, so the first one is bold. The Sefer Haredim says it means that you made it into a mush. That's a porridge. So you make a burning mizonos. Then he says, he understands barir means each one is separate, meaning the kernels don't blend together, which is against Rabbeinu Yonah. But it would be support, by the way, if I'm for the Mechaber's position, or the Beis Yosef's position, which the Rambam quotes, that even by rice, it has to be a little bit. It has to be ma'och sas, I think, is the Rambam's language, not the pastures in Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay. And then, manda amar shako nebechor alahu deshalik. If you really cooked it a lot, but not super, super, super a lot, so you didn't liquefy it, so that's a garua. That's a shinui, it's garua, and you make a shakal. But, and this is hard to believe, but he says, umay de omar bori minay ma'adamim, a bracha we never heard of, bahu de tarif. He says tarif means you liquefied it. He said, that's meshubach. So there already you got a bori minay ma'adamim. That's how Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Abun explains the four opinions that there's no machlokas. And then finally, ad kidon betchila. What about the soap? What bracha? Again, it doesn't even say the word b'mai. Mai. In the Babli, it'd be spelled that. Here, ad kidon means ad tan is what the bracha you make before. What do you make afterwards? Rav yom v'shem v'shem v'chasida ashevar aminei madanim la'adei ma'am nefesh v'choy berachat ha'ashem al ha'aretz ve'al ma'adanea, which sounds a lot like a what? A bracha. What? No. It sounds like a main shalosh. Because it's got some chasima. There are those, I believe, who have a chasima. One of the Rishon Tosos, somebody quotes those who had a chasima on Bar Nefashos. Why is there no chasima on Bar Nefashos, theoretically? Because it's a short bracha. But it's a little longer than your typical. Right? We have brachos. So I wonder if that is. If you look at the Nuschaos, I think in the Babli, or in the Yerushalmi, it's doesn't have Baruch HaElamim printed. Now, it could just be because they didn't spell it out, but it might be that that is reflective of, really, Baruch Atah Hashem HaElamim. So, anyway, this in the Yerushalmi really looks a lot like another Me'in Shalosh. Remember Rabbi Natan that we didn't read, but I mentioned the long Tosa Salam Azayim and Aleph, at least originally thought that you have Al HaAdama Ba'al Fri HaAdama, and then Yehoshim, you know, something similar, right?
Yes.
But then again, what's the difference between them? Yeah, except that the chasima is al ha'aretz al ma'adaneha. That I don't think was the chasima of Bar Nefashos. But Bar Nefashos also, remember, doesn't specify. If Bar Nefashos is specifying anything, and it's not, which food would it be specifying? Yerushalmi says it. Meat. No, animal products. Bar Nefashos Rabbos. That's not shot, by the way. Because Bar Nefashos Rabbos is the chesronon. Bar Nefashos Rabbos is us. And maybe the animals who eat. It's not about what you eat, but who's doing the eating. So the Yerushalmi sounds a little bit like the Bracha Achas Me'in Shalosh. And I would argue, by the way, that the continuation of the Yerushalmi proves that it's an Ein Shalosh. That if you saw the continuation, I didn't ask you guys to go that far. But the Yerushalmi talks about how Rabbi Shimon Chasida, who said this bracha, is in the tradition of Rabbi Gamliel. The tradition of Rabbi Gamliel is something that's not the Shiva Saminim, and it's not Mindagan. What bracha do you make on it? Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh. And that was what the Babli quoted on Lama Zayin and Allah. So the Yerushalmi ties, and they're quoting Rabbi, they're quoting that part of the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda. They're quoting that part, the second part of the Brisa, Lama Zayin and Allah. And that's what the Yerushalmi says is Rabbi Shimon Chasida Shita. So it really sounds like it's a bracha achas mein shalosh. Okay, I'm going to stop here with this. We will resume. Okay, so there's no shir on Monday. There's shir b'kias on Sunday. I'm not here Monday, and the time I've confirmed the timing doesn't work out for me to squeeze in shir between the conference and my plane back. So Tuesday we will resume just to tie up and talk a little about the Yerushalmi and the Babli. And then I will try to get you the key we've shown. I want you to look at, so we'll deal with those two issues, and then we can move on.